Hello, brothers and sisters. This is Jonathan Ritter with Crucified for Jesus Ministries. Hope you guys are having a wonderful weekend, and that your last week was good. If not, remember, in this life we will have tribulations. We will have trouble. So lift your head, my brother, and lift your head, my sister. For within those storms there is peace. But I pray that you did have a good week and a good weekend. Been a little bit since I put a sermon on this website. I believe it might have been 3 weeks ago. I was on a missionary trip, so I was going almost all week on that. And then when I got home, I had preached at several churches. So I just haven't got around to it. Putting one on here, but praise the Lord that he's providing time now to put one on. But this is Crucified for Jesus Ministries. If you follow this ministry this website's been on for maybe four or five years now. Ton of sermons on here, a few Bible studies. Been off on about the format of the Bible studies on here, so I haven't really put too many. It's just a little bit different online than in person doing them. So I've been just kind of pondering that. But welcome if you're new. There is Bible studies on here. There's a ton of sermons. I post a few devotionals throughout the week. I encourage you to go check those out. You'll find them on the devotional. Afternoon devotionals, little pick me up during the week, during your work week. If you work a regular 8-to-5 job and you get that 12, or even, you know, it caters to you. Yeah. Cause I normally try to post from 12 to 1, but not every day, but there's, one or two, maybe four or five, it varies, depending on the leading of the Holy Spirit on how many I post throughout the week, but at least post one. So check those out. For this week, the sermon that God has laid on my heart is, the title is more like a question. How important is the cross in your life? Now, if you're taking physical and mental notes here, physical note, that is the title of this message. That is the question I want you to ponder during this message, and of course after this message. And maybe you already have a good idea the importance of the cross in your life. And if you do, this is just going to be something you already know. If not, or you may think you know the importance of it. Not saying you do or you don't. I'm just saying, when I start preaching through this, there may be some eye-opening moments, some conviction in your heart. Take that conviction. That's the Holy Spirit. That is not a man, Jonathan Ritter. That's just him, a man being on the subject of the Holy Spirit to preach the message that God has laid on my heart. That's all that is. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets the praise. He gets the worship. My name means nothing. I know today, day and age, men want to have their names elevated. They get these degrees so they can elevate their position to say, look how learned I am. I'm not against learning and studying God's word and getting degrees. But when they're for pride issues, and when churches, it's sad when churches look for men with degrees instead of men on fire for God, that's a church that is, they don't know it yet. They're going to hit some dark times where it's over with before Jesus comes back. And that breaks my heart. We'll be in 1 Corinthians 1:18-31. That's 1 Corinthians 18-31. That is our scripture reading. That's our base scripture reading for this sermon for this week. And we'll go to chapter 1 and we'll look at verse 18 and we'll read through 31. But you know, as a preacher, and not just as a preacher, but as a child of God, and just not me, and I pray that you are a child of God too, it's good to have that alone time with Jesus Christ. That is that devotional time, that prayer time, that praise and worship time, and being in God's Word. Every day we should seek that devotion, that prayer, that praise and worship, and the studying and reading of God's Word. I'm going to tell you, a lot of our problems that we face would be more bearable if we would have more alone time with God. When my alone time messages come all through the week, and just typing several up as I go, or jotting down titles that God has given me, scriptures to go back over to ponder the message. And really, it's that process and typing, and then, you know, having one or two sermons, not probably completely finished from start to end, but the heartbeat of that sermon, that's what God wants me to preach on. And He really directs me to that message. And of course, the message today is the cross, and how important is the cross in your life. Well, 1 Corinthians 18 through 31. Let's read. That's 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 18 through 31. And it says this: "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. And it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God, the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than man, and the weakness of God is stronger than man. For you see your calling, brethren, how that not many wise men after flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God had chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things, or confound the things which are mighty. And base things of the world, and things which are despised, has God chosen, yea, and these things which are not, to bring to naught things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that according as is written, He that glorified, lay him glory in the Lord." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, as we come in your presence today, fill us with the Holy Spirit. His presence is welcome. His presence is welcome. I don't know who will listen to this. I don't know who will reject it and accept it. But God gets the glory in all of it. We know as preachers and as people out there as ministering of God's Word, His Word will not go void. So we keep on preaching. We keep on pressing on. For we know His Word will not go void, meaning it will accomplish what it needs to accomplish, even if it's rejection, those that will reject the true gospel, the true message of Jesus Christ. God, as you see fit, direct as you see. Let the words I speak be yours. Let it penetrate the heart, cut to the core if it need to, rattle the life, motivate the spirit, encourage one to become on fire, aflamed with the Holy Spirit, to go out into this old dark world and to be a light. For as time grows closer to your coming, you tell us, perilous times will come about, and they are going to increase, and we haven't seen nothing yet. Prepare ourselves, Lord, to be that gospel light in the darkness that is engulfing our world. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. From our text today, many messages can be preached on this text, my friend. Many has been preached and many will before the Lord comes back for his church. But I want to draw you to the importance of the cross in your life. And if you have made this a priority in your life, now I am just a man, and I do not see into your life. I do not know what you're doing on Monday all the way to Sunday, but God does. He sees behind the closed doors. He sees your innermost thoughts and secrets. He knows your heart and he knows your soul. He knows your intentions. God knows. And if you're hiding, trying to hide from God, all you're doing is hurting yourself. And when you're hurting yourself, it's like an infection. It will affect those around you. Don't do that. That might be a hard reality to take in. I'm still fairly young. I'm 43, but I was raised in church from a baby, and I've seen the devastation of this mindset. It breaks my heart to know it's worse today than it was when I was a teenager in church. I want to tell you, this is not a lifestyle to be living, my friend. Like a double agent, living a double life. How you are in the church environment, and to be different away from it, goes against God's word. We are supposed to move from that light that's in us, from that feeling. And I pray that you have a church and a physical church that you can go to, that you can receive the filling and the nurturance and the guidance in being a disciple for Jesus Christ. But if not, you are so welcome to listen to these sermons, and I pray for it's over with. You know, I can modify this website a little bit better than what it is, but that takes capital, right? So everything's self-funded by me and my wife on this website. So there's things I would love to upgrade on this thing, but they cost money. But that's all right. God can accomplish it. So if it hasn't happened yet, that patience awaiting for him to come through one way or the other. But you're welcome to listen to these sermons. I can suggest preachers that I know online that are solid. And I can suggest ones, and Bible teachers, I can suggest ones that are not. You may not like the ones I suggest that are not, because you may be, I pray not, saturating yourself with their heretics, philosophies against God's word. God's words takes priority over any man. If he counters against God's word, if he tells you God's word is not sufficient, if he tells you that Jesus Christ had sin in his life, if he tells you you can be like a little God, he is going against God's word. If he tells you God is okay with you living a sinful lifestyle, that is okay to walk in the flesh and not in the spirit, to give in to the cravings, if he's compromising, conforming to this world, if he's bringing the stuff from the world into the church, Example of that will be Halloween, which is coming up. Oh, how many churches bring within their walls kids dressed up like ghosts and goblins and witches. That's demonic. And they're bringing them into our churches, and then we call them out on it and they get angry. Oh, how the American churches look just like this world. We pray for them, we lift them up. In the end, the devastation that they will feel when things really get real is going to be heartbreaking. To me, truly, I believe COVID was just one of those things to try to wake up God's church here in America, and it didn't. The next thing coming is going to be worse. And no, I am not a prophet. I am not prophesying all over America. But I know in my heart and studying God's word and looking at the things occurring with internationally with things and the economic collapse and people acting like nothing's happening and our people that are running this country telling everything's okay when everything's crumbling. Something's coming bad, and all we can do is stand firm in God's word and embrace for the impact. The impact was devastating with COVID. Many churches shut their doors. Many churches still haven't recovered. And I guarantee you when this thing, another thing comes that's worse than COVID, it will be a death to many more. Because why? They don't center their life truly on the cross of Jesus Christ. They truly don't understand the importance of the cross. The life that we live before we come to Jesus Christ. That old life is crucified. We come transformed, right? Renewed, regenerated. Into a new creature. I mean, now we seek God's direction in our life, and we don't seek our old ways. You will see people that today they're wearing cross necklaces. They may have crosses all up on their walls at home or in their businesses, and I don't know many businesses that will allow crosses on the wall today. But they have all this, and they truly don't really understand what the cross means because they're acting just like this world. They're behaving just like this world. They have truly not experienced the transformation power of the cross in their life. And yes, that breaks my heart. And when we try to explain in love the cross and the importance of this, immediately not always. They will get offended. Even when you counter with scripture, you're doing in this love, they will get offended because they want to live the lifestyle of this world and still profess to know Jesus Christ, and that is not truly a child of God. Because we are supposed to be different. We're not supposed to conform to this world, right? We walk in light, not darkness. Jesus Christ, if you've heard that term, true north. True north means is a fixed point. True north means is a constant point. Meaning it doesn't change. Jesus Christ is our true north. He does not change. No, he does not. He's a fixed point. We can distance ourselves from the cross, but he is always going to be right there. He does not change. But he doesn't endorse our sin. He doesn't endorse our in-between thought, lukewarm attitude. I may not be hot or cold, but I'm somewhere in between. Oh, my friend, you do not want to be somewhere in between. If you truly know Jesus Christ, you seek to be hot, on fire, and a light radiating through your body. You do not want nothing to do with this world other than we have to work and make money, because that's just part of the curse and that's what we live in. But when we don't let that consume us, we let the cross, the transforming power of Jesus Christ in our life to transform us. Amen. Now, it's been several weeks ago and I was on a missionary trip in Arkansas with several churches, and we were up there helping a church camp. The poor church camp has seen better days. There was electrical problems, plumbing problems, roofing problems, ceiling repairs, there was some needing cleaning up around the grounds, the weed eating, mowing, cutting down trees. And we did what we could do in, you know, less than a week, reaching out to those that are hurting. A camp that used to be very thriving now is not as thriving. And if you follow me on Facebook, you know what camp I'm talking about. But at this camp, there's a lake, and down at this lake, there's a walkway that stretch across about mid part through the lake on a little piece of land, like a little island. And on that island, at the center of it, there is a cross, a white cross. When I got there, the area was grown up, a lot of weeds, trees hiding the cross. And I was drawn to this area, so took about a full day, and I just took some time over there chainsawing, cutting the trees, weed eating throughout the area, cleaning out the limbs and debris from the trees and the weed eating, and man, sweat was just pouring down my face, burning my eyes, but I just kept pressing, pushing on. At one point, I was so exhausted. And I looked up at the cross, I began to cry, I fell to my knees at the cross, I bowed my head, and I thank God for the cross. And here at the foot of the cross was several rose bushes that now could be exposed because I was cleaning them out, and I seen a tag on one of the rose bushes. It was called the Love Rose, Grand Flori, G-R-A-D-I. If you want to look it up, it's G-R-A-N-D-I-F-L-O-R-A. It's a love rose. You know, my heart skipped a beat. You see, my friend, I deserve the cross. If you're honest, you deserved it. And this world deserves. But not only the cross, but up to the cross. The beating, the scourging, the mocking. We deserve all of that. We deserve, if we're honest, hell. Crowder, I don't know much about Crowder, but I love this song called Red Letter. I don't know his lifestyle. I've never visited the guy. I don't know his Bible thoughts. All I know is I look at the words to this song, and they are biblical. They're scriptural. Now, we have to be careful in the music, especially the contemporary Christian music industry, because there are lyrics out there that are not biblical. There are lyrics out there that are against God. And then when some of these guys come out with their lifestyle of sin, there's a point of our personal conviction. I would call it a personal conviction. Even when their songs are biblically written and sung, to listen to them or not to listen to them. I don't know much about Crowder, but I know this song, Red Letters, it brings tears to my eyes when I hear it. And yes, I'm a very emotional person, but when I listen to the song, some part of that is he's talking about he was guilty in the first degree. See, we are guilty in the first degree. And he says hell was our destiny. But then when I looked up and read those red letters, then this life, then his life was changed. And that's that change. When we truly look up at Jesus Christ, we look at what was done on the cross, the price that was paid, there's supposed to be a change. We see crucifixion was brutal, but it was just not the crucifixion. Jesus Christ was mocked. He was beaten and bruised. He was tied to a post so his back would be exposed. And there was a leather strap, a whoop, and our leather straps, and this, and they, and on this, these leather straps, on this whoop, it has sharp objects such as bone and glass. The stripes, the straps, and the point of the bones and glass, any sharp object, was when it, when they used it to sling and whip, and these leather straps would catch, they would want to catch pieces of the flesh, and they would catch into the flesh, and they would rip out chunks. If you really want to get a visual, I don't endorse Mel Gibson. His, a lot of his movies are just filth. But the Christ, the Passion of the Christ, within there, there are theology issues. But when it comes to the crucifixion, the points where they're scourging Jesus Christ, ripping his flesh, it's very accurate. Very revealing. The mocking, the beating, the bruising, the scourging, the crucifixion should break your heart. Doing all of that, the mocking, the beating, the bruising, the scourging, you would think that would be enough, but that was not. The crucifixion. They had nails. Most Bible scholars and people a whole lot smarter than I am say these nails, they were about 7 to 9 inches in length. I truly believe if you look at a railroad spike, that's pretty accurate on these nails. And in the Romans times, was they would when you say he was crucified in his hands, that in that day it would have, the hands would include the wrist area. And most, and maybe you've heard this and I preached on this before, the wrist area, that's where they would have nailed Jesus Christ to his wrists. They would have held, supported the weight. And his feet were nailed. And while he was on that cross, they lift him up while he was on that cross, he, it would be like him drowning, suffocating. I mean, he would try to lift himself up of air to get lungs, and every time he would lift himself up, there would be pain from the nails in his hands to his feet. Now, I want to tell you something. Did Jesus Christ deserve this? No. Was Jesus Christ guilty of anything? If you want to say he was guilty of anything, you can say he was guilty of loving you and me and this world too much. And guess what? He still loves this world so much. That's why he has not came back yet, guys. There is still somebody that needs to hear the gospel. John 3:16-21 says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son in the world to condemn the world, but the world through him might be saved." He that believe on him is not condemned, but he that believe not is condemned already, because he has not believed in what the name of the only begotten Son of God, verse 19 says, and this is the condemnation. This is the condemnation. That is light. That is Jesus Christ is coming into the world. But instead of accepting that, it says man loved darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Meaning there is an exception and rejection here, right? And we all have that choice. And I pray that everybody at the sound of our voice accepted Jesus into your life. You accept the glorious gospel and the light has invaded your soul and heart, and the Holy Spirit pours throughout your life and you are changed. But if you're not, I pray that you get it right today. For everyone that do evil, that go against God, they hate Jesus. They hate the light. Neither come to the light, lest his, and that can be collectively his or her, deeds should be reproved. But he that do true comes to the light, and that his deeds may be manifest. They are done. They are from Jesus Christ. They are manifest. They are wroth in God. I mean, they are pointing to God. They are done through God. My friend, God so loved you. And God so loved me. And God so loved this world. He loves this world. That's why he has not came back for the church. He has chosen the ones that truly say, hey, Jesus, I am here. I have recognized who I am. See, when we say believe, what do we mean by believe? Believe simply can be looked as faith, trust. In the ultimate, have you trust in Jesus Christ? If you trust in him, you have yielded your life to him. He accepted what was done on the cross for you. You recognize the sin. You recognize sin. Why is sin so hard? A three-letter word that is barely preached on. And when they do, they preach very briefly on it. And they don't get specific because most of their congregants and their churches are practicing sin. While you're a preacher up there knowing that, oh my, I would not want to be that preacher one day if God calls me home. Because you will be called out upon that. And when you get called up on that, Lord, have mercy on your soul. You should be under severe conviction as a pastor, knowing people in your church that are sinning and you're not calling them out on it, but ignoring it. There ain't no conviction in your heart. That's an indication that something is wrong with your heart. I pray that you are truly a child of God, because if not, there's our, to me, not getting very through deep in theology, but there are different levels of hell, and I believe those wolves in sheep clothing that are leading the sheep astray or leading people astray, there is a depth of hell that's a whole lot harder for them guys. And for the people in the audience, okay, with men up there not proclaiming the gospel, not talking about sin. If you're going to understand the importance of the cross, you have to understand sin. Right? Jesus Christ had no sin. John 1:36 says, looking upon Jesus as he walked, he said, and that this is John the Baptist, in John 1:36, says, behold the Lamb of God. The NIV puts it this way. It goes a little bit longer. It's usually when I quote this, it's usually from the NIV. The next day, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, John the Baptist would have understood animal sacrifice, part of the old covenant. These animals sacrificed, they were just band-aids. They were only pointing to the ultimate sacrifice that would have been, that is in Jesus Christ. That's what the promise they were looking for in the Old Testament. And that's when John the Baptist calls out, "Look, guys, here's the Lamb of God, the Son of God, the only begotten Son of God. He is the Lamb. And this Lamb is the ultimate Lamb, the perfect Lamb, the blameless Lamb, the sinless Lamb that takes away the sins of the world. Here is redemption." First Peter 1:19 says, "But with the precious blood of Christ, the blood that was spilled at the cross, as of a what lamb without blemish and without spot." Jesus is that perfect Lamb. He had to die on that cross for our sins. And we recognize this, what Jesus done for you and me at the cross. This is bring us to our knees. Oh, does it bring you to your knees? You shouldn't get, "Oh, I still want my sin. You know, I still want to do my way." No, you want Jesus' way. You want to walk the way that Jesus has in your life. When you experience the cross, truly trust in what He has done for you on the cross. You don't want to live a life of sin. You don't want to live in darkness. You seek the light. Oh, are you seeking the light? You don't want to conform to this world. You're changed. You look at the cross. You look at His love. You look at His mercy. You look at the amazing grace, right? That redemption demonstrated on the cross. We need to be saved. Right? We need to be saved from ourselves. I speak from experience. I need Him every minute. I need Him every hour. I need Him every day. I need Him every week. I am broken to my knees. I need Him. Fill me, Holy Spirit, and guide me. I am a man broken. And I can't make it without Him. I will never claim to be the best speaker, the best audience pleaser. But oh, I love Jesus. See, I was just a lost vessel in that raging sea of life. The waves would just lift me up and then life would bring me down. But oh Lord, You came for me. Your light shined through the darkness. It drew me from the dangers of being destroyed by this life. Oh, that light beam, that light that comes from the cross tells me the love and the mercy and the grace that You have for a sinner like me. Your direction, Your true north in my life. Oh, how it radiates. I can't think of the old hymns, oh, at the cross when I first saw the light. And the burden of my heart rolled away. It was by faith I received what my sight. And I'm happy all the day. My friend, you don't receive your sight if you're living a life of sin. And I preached on sin. I've got very specific on sin. Because I believe today, most churches, especially here in America, endorse sin. When you start preaching on sin, a hard on sin, there is a good chance that you will not be invited back, I know. They want a soft message. They want something warm and fuzzy in their life, I'll tell you. That era of time is coming to an end. There's something heavy coming to America. I don't know what it is. And it's going to be a lot heavier than what we're experiencing right now. This is just going to look like a little anthill. It didn't take much for most churches, especially in this area, with the pandemic, the plandemic, a disease or a virus that was created that was not as potent as they're coming out saying it was. It wasn't too hard to close people to close the doors of their churches. Why? Because they truly don't understand the cross and the transformation of the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yes, if you're sick, stay home. That's common sense. Fear, the spirit of fear, counter to the faith in Jesus Christ. That spirit of fear runs rampant in most churches today. The government seen the power because the government is majority ran by Satan and his demons. They seen the power of fear and don't think they're not going to let up. Mark my words, 2024 is going to be riveting. Worse than this year and last year. Once again, I'm no prophet. I ain't going to profess to be no prophet. I just know when I look across the atmosphere, especially churches, God's about tired of this lukewarm message that people cling to. And when preachers like me come along, we are ostracized. We're treated like the black plague. Well, I'll tell you, there's time coming. The true remnant, a true faithful believers, are going to seek men like me. The false church will still go and they will still combine with the church of the end times, which is the false church, the church that will, the Antichrist will be, the false religion, which we see today. If you don't, that would be people like Steve Furtick that proclaim false. They will line right up with the ecumenical movement, the false religion. They're already lined up right now. Millions won't follow them, and millions will, and they will not listen to men like me, and they ultimately lead to their destruction and to hell for them, unless they truly experience the cross. See, when you experience the cross, Romans 12:2 says, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, acceptable, and perfect will of God." See, we do not conform to this world. But what do we transform to? The renewing of your mind, my mind, your mind, by seeking God's perfect will. Another scripture that you can look at is Titus 3:5. It said, "Not of works of righteous we have done, but according to his mercy he saves us. By what? The washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit." Transformation is that transformation, that is that renewing, right? That is that regeneration. Meaning we are now transformed into light. And now we are renewed by the Holy Spirit, and we are new in Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new." We are supposed to be new. Do we get this? We do not seek our old life. If you're out there, I'm going to use the example of foul, filthy language. Would you think Jesus Christ, if he was physically walking in this world, and he walks into a business and there's a person there that goes to church or whatever, claims to be Christian earlier, and dropping the F-bomb, saying every filthy word, a cute girl walks by, he checks her body out and makes sue language, that Jesus would be okay with that? I've been in churches where there's language, people are cussing in church. Would Jesus be okay with that? No. When you read through Matthew all the way to John, his life speak of light. He said, don't be like this world. Right? We are not supposed to be like this world. I was going to grab a quote that just came to mind. It says, if Jesus preached the same message that ministers preach today, he would never have been crucified. Listen to that, guys. It's truth. If Jesus preached the same message that ministers preach today, he would never have been crucified. They would have not crucified him because he would have been preaching something different. It would have been more pleasing to that world around them. The Pharisees and Sadducees would have loved him and would have probably tried to bring him into their inner circle. Bring him into the money, the wealth. But he didn't. I want to tell you today, when you experience the cross in your life, there is, truly experience it, there is transformation in your life. You don't seek the things of this world. It's a good indication when you're dealing with somebody that professing to know Jesus Christ and to understand the cross and how much of the world they clinging on to. And it's not hard to figure it out. Just talk to them a little bit. See what their conversation centers on. You can get a quick reference what is truly their God in their life. And if they're sitting there cussing left and right, you already know there's something wrong because the conviction of the Holy Spirit should be pouring through them through that filthy language. But it's not. And when you confront them about it, it's going to get very uncomfortable. And I speak from experience. They don't want to hear that. Their preacher is up there lying to them every Sunday. And oh, woe is he. But we have this transformation in our life. And when we have this transformation in our life, there's a change. We have a fire burning in our soul. This doesn't mean as a child of God, when we come to him, that we will not experience the pain of this life. John 16:33 says, these things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. We can have peace in Jesus Christ. But he said, in this world ye, that's you, that's me, that are truly his, you shall have tribulation. We will have trials. But be of good cheer. Why? Because Jesus said, I have overcome the world. We will still experience things in this life, but we have to understand that it's only temporary. Because you come to Christ, it will not mean you will not experience the pain of this life. You may be at this point, what's the point, preacher, right? Well, this is the point. The drop. This life is only a drop in the bucket, so to speak. That language is a drop in the bucket, meaning it is a blink. It's over before you know it. This physical life on this earth is brief, is a blink, is a vapor, James tells us. Today could be your last day, or tomorrow, a week from today, or a month from today, or years from now. We don't know when our last day is, But it is so brief. And God knows, right? He knows when our physical life is up. Because when it's up, it's up. And when that's a dot in eternity, you go to one or two places, heaven or hell. If you are a child of God, all the things that you may be experiencing in this life that is bringing you down, that's challenging you in this life, you will have tribulation. But the reason he can say you can have peace and you can be of good cheer is because you know in the end, this journey in life that we're traveling, when it ends, your best life begins then, not now. Your best life course can be now along the center in Jesus Christ. But that doesn't mean you're going to get wealthy. That does not mean you're going to have all the nice trinkets of this world. It doesn't mean that you're not going to go through pain. It doesn't mean that you will not suffer on levels that can be devastating and some suffer hard in this lifetime. But this lifetime is brief. If we get this perspective in our mind that this life, what we're going through, is only temporary, in the end, we get to go home. And when we get to go home to our true home, to heaven, there will be no more pain. There will be no more sorrow. And forever and ever, perfect and always that we can think of and what we can't think of. We can't imagine what waits for a true child of God. That's the point. That's why we keep moving on. We have a heartbeat for Jesus Christ, not a heartbeat for this world. We have to live in this world. We have to make a living because it's a cursed world. But we do not have to live for this world. We can live for Jesus Christ as we are making a living. Until if you're living for this world and you're living a lifestyle counter to Scripture, it's going to lead you down some dark and sad roads. We live for Jesus Christ. Philippians 1:21 says, "For me to live, for me to live is Christ. To die and to die gain." You see, the cross touches our lives. The life, the light of Jesus Christ penetrates our heart and soul. And when that happens, you will never be the same. I want to tell you, I'm not the same person I used to be. My wife would agree. The old Jonathan Matthew Ritter, the alcohol, sex addicted, drug, demon driven Jonathan Matthew Ritter, who was back 12 years or 15 years ago, you wouldn't have recognized me. If I was driving down the road and I seen someone on fire, I would stop to throw gasoline on them to watch them burn. I'm not saying I'm perfect. God's still working on me. But I'm saying, I don't seek the old ways, my old life. I seek a life that's glorifying to God. Don't mean I won't have my ups and downs, and none of us are perfect. But it means we keep pressing on. For me to live is Christ, and to die is His gain. To die gain. See, when we have that transformation in our life, we don't seek our old lives. We press on to our new ones. We seek that sanctification. And that's just you could say a fancy word. It's in Scripture. Sanctify truth, sanctification. Being more like Jesus. We should seek every day to be more like Him. Matthew 5:14-16 says this. Ye are the light of the world. A city is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and is given light unto all that are in the house. Let your light shine before man, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. You see, when we come to the cross, guys, we truly are transformed, regenerated. There's a light that penetrates to this world. Is your light penetrating to this world? You think of a light, a city that is on a hill. You think of a hill and there's a big city up there, and it's lit up and there's lights everywhere. And within a hill, if you thought of the hill, that hill is on a high point, right? And there's a low point down there. And I was like, when I always read the scripture, I think of a city lit up, and then down on the low level down there, there is another city that's in darkness. And they're looking up. And they're seeing, hey, we're in darkness. We don't got no power down here. But man, that city up there has lights. Let's go explore. Let's see what's going on, what's happening in that city. And when they come, we tell them, right, about Jesus Christ. We tell them about the cross. We tell them about sin. Of course, we tell them about the resurrection. We tell them about living a new life and away from our sin. And we need to get specific on that. Today, preachers only get specific. We need to get specific. At that point, they accept or reject it. Like, I really love my sin. And really, it's really what it comes down to. There is a love of sin. There's a love of sin. That's why you guys hear me speak a lot of it goes on our new title now. It's called Progressive Christianity. I didn't title that. That's what the progressive Christians title themselves, that language. They're progressive Christian. And within part of that progressive Christian title is, you can live in your sin. And it's okay. God is okay with you living in your darkness. If you know me at any time of my preaching and studying God's word, and you would say, no, that is not correct, and that is true. And when you listen to preachers, when you're listening to them preach, especially when they're preaching a salvation message, are they centering? Are they really talking about sin? Or are they just using it as a byproduct? Are they talking about walking in the Spirit? See, when we experience Jesus Christ, right, and the lights in our life, then we seek what? To walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:16, and we'll read some of this. It says, this I say unto you, walk in the Spirit, that you shall not feel the lust of the flesh. We are supposed to walk in the light, in the Spirit. And it says, for the flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary, the one to the other. So you cannot do the things that you would. But if you're led of the Spirit, guess what? You're not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. He's saying, here is sin, guys. And Paul said, I'm telling you about sin. He said, which are these? He says, adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hate, variance, immolation, wrath, strife, sedition, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, reviling, such as which I've told you before, as I've told you in time past, that they that do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. If you're doing these things and you're okay with it, the conviction of the Holy Spirit is not in your life. If you're speaking any way you want, if you're looking at women or men with lust and you're okay with that, God's not okay with with that. If you're living a homosexual lifestyle and saying, I'm a homosexual Christian, that God is not okay with that. You will not inherit the kingdom of God. Thus said Jesus Christ through his word, not Jonathan Ritter, but thus says God. And here it says those will not inherit the kingdom of God. Why? Because they are not truly transformed. They truly are not regenerated. They are not wanting to live a sanctified life. They want to live a life that is just like this world. They want to conform to this world. And good, that conforming to this world means they will, if they die tonight in their sins, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. But Jesus tells us through Paul, here in the last few verses of the fruit of the Spirit, this is what we strive for as children of light that have been transformed. There are cities on a hill. We are supposed to strive in love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And here's that word crucified again. And they that are of Christ has crucified the flesh with the afflictions, affections, and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let's walk in the Spirit. My Lord, we are supposed to be crucified. The cross means to us as children of God to live a crucified life. Not a life blending into this world. Paul said, I died daily. Meaning, he had to keep his eyes placed on Jesus Christ. Putting his flesh in submission. Submitting to God. Resisting the devil. Daily. Not yielding into his fleshly pleasures. Not endorsing his sin. Oh, I pray that you are that way. That your life is supposed to be different. You're not going with this conformative, false Christianity that will increase and is increasing. Today, in closing, I want to just present that question to you. These recordings are recorded so you can listen to it as many times as you want to. You can go to these scriptures. And you can study them for yourself. I encourage you. Write these scriptures down. Learn them. Break them down for yourself. Pray over them. God, show me. God, reveal to me. Pour your heart out to God's word. You don't have to take this preacher's advice. You don't have to. You just look at God's word, write down these scriptures, read them over and over, study them, break them down, and then ask yourself, what does the cross mean in my life? How important is the cross in my life? Right? Do I strive to live a different life than this world? Is there truly a change in my life? Do I seek light more? Does sin grieve my heart? I strive to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, to press on through everything. I can say, for to live is Christ and to die gain. To tie is gain. Yeah, to die is gain. I was reading that, and I was like, that didn't sound so right. But for me to live is Christ, to die is gain. Meaning, to live that crucified life. Giving it all. Not part. Everything you got. Yes, we still have to. We live out in this world. We still have to make a living. Our mission field is what I call our sphere of influence. That's from our work to our family to our friends. Those that God has placed in our life, doesn't matter on how many. Because I want to tell you, God ain't concerned about numbers. He is concerned about hearts. I'd rather have 10 people listen to this these sermons that are truly all in and on fire for Jesus than a million subscribers or listeners that are living somewhere in the middle. And Jesus would agree. You think about it. Really think about Jesus, right? When he started his ministry, he had 12 disciples. He had 12 altogether. In the end, they all fled. But John, the Apostle John, was the only one that we can confirm in Scripture that was there with Jesus' mother, his physical mother, at the crucifixion. When they were nailing his hands to the cross and his feet, he was there. One disciple of the 12, right? Jesus was more concerned about hearts. John 6:6-6, which is a very interesting passage. When he started, many that were following, when he started preaching, that is, this to follow him was going to cost something, many left. I mean, there was more disciples than 12 that we know, but the 12 inner circle, in the ultimate, was only one that was at the crucifixion. And I'll say that if there was only 10 or 12 that listened to these sermons, I consider this blessed. They are truly on fire for Jesus and willing to let their light shine. And when they think of the cross, they know. They look at the cross, they recognize, that should have been me. When they look at the cross, they say, I see the grace. I see that love. I see that mercy. I know why he died for me. He had to be that perfect Lamb of God, the sinless Lamb of God that take away the sins of the world. I deserve the cross, but he stood in my place. He is that bridge. I need to be saved. Because he saved, he saved me from my raging life, from my destination to hell. Oh, how I just lay there and thank you, God, for what you done. And that does something to our lives. It transforms our life. It renews our life. And we recognize that he didn't stay on that cross, but we recognize the blood that was spilt, the atonement of our sins. And we know that he was taken from that cross, and we know that he was placed in that tomb, and we know that he rose from the grave. We know he is coming back one day for his church. He's coming back one day, if it's not like the end time, the splitting of the sky. It may be, it could be tonight. He may come for you and me, but we know he's coming back one day. And we, because he is, we know the things of this life doesn't matter too much when it comes to the material things. It doesn't matter about the things that we can gain in this life unless they're only pointing to Jesus Christ and him crucified. That light that shines, radiates through us, through all around, that we want to be about our Father's business, not ours. Do we get that? One life to live. I think when you die, Jesus, like, oh, thank you for putting those extra hours at work. That was very nice of you. You shouldn't have done that. Your employer is so happy. Well, let me tell you, if you die tonight, your employer will find somebody else to take your spot. They could care less. They may even not even come to your funeral. Somebody will take your spot in a heartbeat. But don't let somebody take your spot in heaven. Because that's truly what matters. Yes, we work for the glory of God. We let our light shine where we're at. But when we start dampening our light for our work, for our family, for our friends, and that don't grieve our hearts, the transformation did not take place. And I pray today that you take that to heart. And you haven't tuned this old preacher out. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we just thank you for this opportunity, Lord, to get into your word. God, as we close this out, let's think of the cross, the ultimate sacrifice for this world, for a world that truly does not deserve that kind of love, that kind of grace, that kind of mercy. But you did it anyway. You created that bridge, God, with your Son, that we can come where we are right now and lay our life truly down at your feet. We can say, Lord, a sinner like me, Lord, deserves a devil's hell. I stand here guilty. But you will pardon me. I give my life to the very end, regardless of the cost. Renew me, transform me, guide me and direct me as you see fit. Chasten and scourge me to live a life that is pleasing to yours. Let my sin rip my heart out till I'm bleeding on the ground and crying for forgiveness and repentance. Transform me. Regenerate my soul. Renew my spirit. Create in me, Lord, a clean heart. Daily, help me walk that crucified life, and never losing sight of the importance of the cross in my life, your life, our lives. Let it transform our life. Let a light shine where we're at, from our work to our churches. If they call us extreme, so be it. They call us fanatical, so be it. Jesus Christ, if you were walking in this world today, physically walking, they would call you radical. They would call you all kind of names. And they would try to crucify you again. If you're walking in America right now, physically walking, preaching what you preached from Matthew to John, majority of Americans will yell, "Crucify, crucify." And that would be, sad thing is, it would be church people too yelling that. That's hard. People don't want to hear it, because they don't want to live a transformed life. They don't want to live a life that is different from this world. They want to blend in. God, help us not blend in. God, help us live a transforming life, a radical life for you. We pray all this in your holy and beautiful name, Jesus Christ. Amen. I love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your weekend and week. If you're listening to this during the week, I hope your week is going to go pretty well. Once again, there's a few Bible studies on this website. I'm working on some formats, but I've been off and on working on trying to figure it out. That's why I haven't really put any Bible studies back on this. I've just been trying to work on formats and praying over it and seeing what direction God needs me to go on that. So I don't know yet. I'm still seeking Him on that. But sermons, some Bible studies on here. I'll try to post one or two, sometimes five devotionals a week on this, afternoon devotionals. Please check those out if you want to. Just uplifting throughout the week. Also, if you need to reach me, you can reach me through this website. Remember, if you type in a question or anything of that nature, just make sure you put something in the title, and when it goes to my email, it doesn't go to my spam. I know sometimes some will go to the spam and I may not catch them. Make sure you put a subject heading like a wake up. That was the old title of this website, crucifyforjesusministry.com or crucify for ministry, Crucify for Jesus Ministries, Crucify for Jesus Ministry. Got question on the title, and then you type your thing in. And when I go to my spam, I can scan through it pretty fast, and I see that title on there. I'm like, okay, that's, you know, because it doesn't, from reason, it doesn't go direct into my email account. Probably a better way is through Facebook. If you're not part of my Facebook friend group, just send me a request. That's all. I get requests, but please reference this website out, because I'll know you've listened to or you've been to the website, Crucify for Jesus Ministries. Just reference that out. You can send me a message, and the message can simply, how I think Messenger works. I have to be my Facebook. You can send me a message through Messenger. If you have questions, I can, if you want to add to my Facebook friend, I have a group there. Throughout the week, I post replical Bible studies, replical preaching, of course, just some fun things off and on throughout the week, quotes and etc. So that's, you know, staying connected. I like staying connected that way. I'm on Twitter a little bit and Instagram a little bit, so you can reach out that way. My Twitter account, Instagram account, I think I might, I post something maybe once or twice a day in that, and just, so if you do send me a message, it may take a few weeks. I recognize there's one there. Quickest way is Facebook. If you know me personally, you definitely have my phone number, so you can text me. I don't normally get my phone number out because of there are people out there, when they hear these type of messages, they're not happy about it, And death threats do come, so that's just part of the ministry. You got a lot of people that has a lot of hate out there, and that's just what it is. It will get worse, but it's what it is. So pray that you utilize these resources. You reach out to me if you need to. You have any questions. And it's just me, so if you do send me something, give me time to respond. I work a 40-hour work week, and then sometimes during the week I'm teaching and preaching too, and doing this website. So I'm stretched pretty thin sometimes, but it's all good. God's still good, and He still works through. The goal is one day to be able to do full-time ministry and not have to swing everything. But if not, God, this is what God wants. I'm game for it. His will be done, not mine. Love you guys. Y'all have a good rest of your night or morning or evening when you're listening to this. And, of course, the week and weekend. Love y'all. Bye.